those crowds of Trump supporters we saw during the campaign, and especially this week, sport those red Make America Great hats. You've seen them. They're mostly white faces in the crowds, but they actually represent a vast collection of people with different ideas about what Trumpism is and what Trump is going to accomplish over the next 4 years and possibly beyond. Paul Ramsey comes from the alt-right movement. He espouses principles of white identity, something we explored in a conversation about his new connection with Donald Trump. Ramsey is a YouTube vlogger who blogs under the name Ramsey Paul. He says it's time to take steps to restore America to what he calls its natural state, white and Christian. And he thinks a billionaire from Queens is going to do that.
Hey, guys, we did it. We won. This has been, I think, the greatest moment since the fall of communism in 1989. We have seen the fall of the globalists. It's happened.
That's Ramsey celebrating very happily yesterday. He says he's looking far down the road as he thinks about Trumpism, far down the road to a new America. So, Paul, why do you say we won?
Because we did. We on the alt-right who believe in identity, this was a major breakthrough for us that Trump was able to win this election against all odds, against the Hollywood, against the mainstream media, against the educational establishment. It was amazing. It was, and I should say, we didn't win the war, but we won a battle. And this has been a major battle, and there's a lot to do.
How much interaction or even discussion of Donald Trump had you had before, you know, last year?
Not much. He came on the scene basically last year with his promise to build the wall and with immigration. And he was the only Republican that I remember that took that line. And that really enthused not just me, but as you can see, millions of Americans who are concerned about this country and want to keep the identity of the United States.
So when Trump comes on the scene, he's not some, you know, ideologue, orthodox, you know, someone that you follow because of his intellectual opinions and beliefs. He just happened to espouse a position that you find consistent with your own.
Yeah, many positions. He's basically a nationalist, at least a civic nationalist. And I think a lot of people identify with that. I think that's natural. I think most people in the world are actually nationalists. They have identity that they want to maintain. And that resonated with people. And he was able to do that because he was a celebrity and he was very rich. So he didn't rely on donor money like Hillary did or all the other Republicans. So that made it so he could speak his mind freely, which is very tough in an American system, because usually you need the, you know, the donor's money, either from Goldman Sachs or from the Saudis or from whoever. He could just speak his mind because he had his own money.
Does he know anything about you?
I don't know. I've never met the guy. So who knows? I don't know.
Does he know anything about the alt-right movement and other folks in it, names that you would love for him to meet, you know, over the next few weeks as we think about a transition?
I have no idea. I mean, you'd have to ask him. I don't know what he thinks in his mind. I would assume, because Hillary made a big issue out of the alt-right, that he's smart enough to kind of do some research on the matter. So I would assume he does, but, you know, I've never met the guy, so I don't know what he knows in his mind.
But if you were advising him, who would you say, all right, you need to meet these following three people, and you should really pay attention to this person and this person. What kind of a memo would you write for him?
Well, I think Ann Coulter would be number one. I mean, I think she's been a very good to talking about immigration and what we're thinking about now. I think someone like maybe a Richard Spencer, who is prominent in the alt-right, maybe Kevin McDonald. I mean, there's a lot of people like that he could talk to that, you know, he may be aware of.
What are the limits, do you think? Would you advise him, all right, there are people in the movement who say this, that, and the other. We think politically it would not be wise for you to go in this direction.
Well, I think he just needs to be true to himself. And I think he needs to be careful not to moderate his position too much. Otherwise, what's the point? And I don't think he will. I think he's always been straight. Everyone's been worried that he's going to kind of moderate and not really stand what he believes in. But he's never backed off, even during the primaries and during the general election. And I think that's a good thing because people want real change. They just don't want, you know, more of the same. And it would be very disappointing if he should just, you know, act like a Bush or a Paul Ryan or something like that. People don't want that. They want real change.
Well, two things, Paul. Number one, I mean, if you look at his resume, I mean, he's all over the map. I mean, he's all over the map in terms of his political beliefs. And you wouldn't even have described him as politically astute, you know, 10, 15 years ago, right?
Yeah. I think that's an advantage. I think it was great to have an American that's not part of the political establishment machine that can speak for Americans. I think that's how our country was designed, right? As it's kind of like the farmer going to Washington or the businessman. I think we're tired of professional politicians. And I think we saw that in the election. People are tired of people that are like the Clintons or even the Bushes. I'm not really necessarily for the Republicans. I can't stand the Bush family hierarchy, just like I can't stand the Clintons, for the same reason, because they're part of the establishment.
All right. Well, that I totally understand. But in terms of what he believes, I mean, he's been liberal, he's been pro-life, anti-life, you know, I mean, you know, whatever words you want to use. He's been a Democrat. He's contributed to Democrats, Republicans. He's, you know, he's been for the war, against the war. I mean, he's someone who seems much more interested in his business than he is in politics, and will say anything at any time. I mean, he's all over the map.
Well, I think people have changed over time. So I don't know about you, but my views have changed over the years, and I think that's just natural that happens. And I think he's never, before he ran for office, I don't think he was really concerned about politics because he was more about building his, like you said, his empire in New York, except for meeting with the politics to give them, you know, the usual bribes that they expect, like the Clinton Foundation and so forth. And so he knows how the corrupt the system is. And I think he's honest. I mean, he may be fooling us. I don't know. Maybe he is. It's just all a game and he really doesn't believe anything he's saying. But I have a feeling, or I think millions of Americans are willing to give him a chance. They believe that maybe he is honest. Hey, we could be fooled. I don't know. I'm not a mind reader, but I'm hoping he's genuine.
Who needs to be on the other side of that wall that you're so attracted by, that Trump is talking about, who are in the United States right now?
People that aren't citizens. I look at the wall as, for example, other countries like Hungary that I'm in right now. They have a good wall. Israel, I like their wall. They keep out their immigrants and they keep their country Jewish. And I think that's a good thing. In fact, of, you know, how many Syrian refugees Israel's taking? Zero. And they're right next to Syria. And so why aren't they? Well, because they want to maintain their country as a Jewish state. And I'm fine with that. That makes sense. And I think that's part of what a country means, is to keep your identity. Because if you don't have a borders, what's the point? Is a country just longitude and latitude and a piece of dirt? I think it means something more than that. It's just not anyone come here. We're just some big consumer mall. We have an identity. And people, we do have an identity. And you see that even like with the protest in like California, the Mexicans. They're not waving the American flag. They're waving their Mexican flag because that's who they identify with, as a Mexican. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's part of who we are as humans. We have identities. And so that's anyone that's really not an American, number one, is illegal. They shouldn't be here. That's just common sense. That's what other countries do. There's nothing wrong with that.
All right. So when people describe themselves as African American, that's who they should be, Africa.
Well, I would describe people as Americans, not as African Americans or European Americans. I don't like the hyphenated label personally, but I think we need to be Americans first, not our Africans first or Hispanics first. That's part of what the nation is we, you don't have that, for example, a Hungarian having an African Hungarians. Now, race is a part of your identity. Now, the United States, we were 90% white for a couple hundred years with some African slaves, but that was our identity. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being white. Other races have.
So we should call blacks former slaves?
Well, you should call them by their name. I don't understand the question.
Well, I guess the question is, what?
I don't mind. I don't mind calling African Americans, because if that's the choice that they choose, whatever name they want, it's not really what's important. The important thing is what our identity is as a nation. And, if in Japan, you're called Japanese, and that's the way it is. Now, if you moved 100 million Somalis in Japan, would they be Japanese? Hell no. Would I be Japanese if I moved there? No, because Japanese has to do with, it has to do with language, it has to do with culture. And yes, it does have to do with your ethnic background and race. And
all right, so we're talking about something more than just who has green cards and visas and things. So again, who's on the list of people that you would think it would benefit America to be on the other side of the wall? For instance, Jews go back to Israel. Is that something you would advocate?
No, I already answered the question. I said illegal people are here that are illegally need to go on the other side of the wall. I mean, that's the word illegal should make that pretty clear, right?
So all the multicultural, I mean, you're a critic of multiculturalism, right?
Yeah, it doesn't work because people have, I'm for diversity, and the best way to preserve diversity is through separate nations. Now, if you're going to go down the road of 100% racial purity, that's ridiculous. No country has that. But a country needs to have at least a high percentage, like 80 or historically in the United States, 90% a white Christian heritage. And that's what our country was. And that's what's changing.
All right. So what do we do to get to that 90%?
Well, we take steps. Number one is we take our steps to enforce our current borders and to build the wall, like other countries have a wall. Like Mexico, they defend their border, by the way. And if you try to get into Mexico illegally from Guatemala, you're in big trouble.
No, but again, looking for clarity here, deporting, even with the draconian task of deporting 14 million illegal immigrants, undocumented immigrants, that doesn't get you to 90% white Christian heritage. That doesn't get you close. You'd have to do something more than that. What would you do?
Well, that's the first step. I mean,
what's the second step? What's the third step?
There are no second or third steps right off the bat. I mean, I don't know. I mean, because the United States, we're in the situation we are now. And probably what should have happened in 1965, we shouldn't have had the Change the Immigration Act, right? Because before then, you had to be a European Christian to pretty much immigrate into this country. That was changed under the promise that, our demographics, they're not going to change, but they did. So that was a lie. So we're in the situation we are now. So what you do in a situation like that is you just got to make the best of it. No, we're never going to be a 100% white European country. That's just not in the cards, and you got to accept that. But you have to make a society a country that works best for the majority of people. For example, this whole issue of white privilege, right? Well, how do you get away from that? If you're in separate countries where there's no white people, then you don't have the issue of white people exploiting the minorities. It's just common sense. So that's what we need to do with our country as much as possible. We need to try to come together on key factors like language, like our basic, we're basically a Christian nation where you can say Merry Christmas, where we don't have to say Happy Holidays for offending certain people.
We don't have to say that. You don't have to say that.
Oh, it's really push. You've never worked in the corporate environment? You say Merry Christmas on there?
Sure.
Okay, well, good for you then. But there is, I think.
Who are the stormtroopers enforcing Happy Holidays? I've never seen that.
I guess I lived in a different America because in the corporate world, there's a huge push to say Happy Holidays, not Merry Christmas. On the television.
Is that all this is about? The difference between saying Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays? I mean, again, if you want to get the 90% Christian white heritage, you're talking about some significant changes in the demographics of America, which is rapidly becoming a white minority nation. What are you going to do about that? What's Trump going to do about that?
Right. And everyone says that's, a good thing. And I disagree with that.
All right, what do you want Trump to do about that?
Well, like I said, the first thing is you got to start with the basics, right? Is to enforce a border and enforce our current immigration laws. That's
how long will you give Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, to deport those 14 million and get on to the next step of getting us to that 90% Christian heritage?
Well, the first thing you can do is through the companies and have severe penalties if you hire illegals. That can be done right away. So that will help to self-deport a lot of people right off the bat. Then you enforce our current border, and that helps that too. Now,
What about Muslims?
Well, the same thing. I think we need to have a ban on general migration until we get this thing sorted out. I'm not against Muslims. If you're a Muslim and you want to have your religion in the country, that's fine. But we're under no obligation. It was never considered that in the United States that we must take endless populations that aren't compatible with us. It's just crazy, and I don't know why we would want to do that. No one else does.
Okay.
Other countries don't do that.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't want to turn into Germany where they're being flooded with Muslims. I'm in Hungary now here. They don't allow the flood of the refugees in. And guess what? You were talking about how Budapest is a nice city. Why is it a nice city? Because they don't allow the flood of Muslims in here so the women can walk the streets without the threat of getting raped. That's the good thing.
So women can walk the streets without the threat of getting raped?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Cologne, Germany? You know, the rape attacks there? Have you heard of that? And I'll take you here to Budapest. You can walk the streets day or night, and there's no issues here. Why? Because this isn't a diverse land here in Budapest. This is primarily 90% Hungarian. And they're
all right.
They're connected.
And, you're describing a situation that is going to be anything but the United States in a decade. In a decade, whites will be the minority. And so all of these scenarios that you're describing, Merry Christmas, Happy Holiday, getting raped on the street by Muslims.
You guys were saying that Clinton was going to win, 95% certainty, right? I was told in the early 1980s when I went to college that the communism, that's the wave of the future. You need to get used to it. You're in denial if it's not. The Soviets are really increasing, and that's just the way it's going to be. And it fell. It fell apart in the 80s. So these predictions of the future are notoriously wrong, because what we're seeing now with this Trump presidency is an awakening of white identity. Because we have other identities, and it's really good. Everyone loves black identity. Viva la raza. I don't know what la raza means. Maybe you can get your Spanish-speaking listeners to explain that word. But it's okay for them to have that identity. Or Jews, they have their identity. In fact, they have their own damn homeland that we support. And that's considered a good thing that we keep Israel Jewish. And there's no thing, we need to diversify Israel. No, and there's no talk about that. So there's nothing wrong with our people having our identity. That's what we are. And we're not going to apologize.
So when you say that, there are Jews in America who might get worried that what you would prefer is that Jews go back to Israel and that, Muslims find a place that's majority Muslim. And as far as the birth rate is concerned, those are facts. That's not some prediction from crazy liberals. Unless you have more white people or fewer people of color, you're not going to get your 90%. So what are you going to do?
Well, that's where the country is different than the nation, right? A nation is people that have a common identity. A country is just a political, geographic boundaries, and the country can change. And, maybe who knows, long term in the future, maybe the United States will break apart like the Soviet Union did. Maybe that wouldn't be a bad thing. You've probably heard that.
Where would you live if America breaks apart? What part of it would you want to be in?
I don't know. Yeah, it depends how it broke apart. It'd be like the Soviet Union broke apart. And we're talking about who knows how long in the future that could happen. But I would want to be part that's more of a European or white or Christian heritage. Just like I assume the Hispanics would want to be in an area that's primarily Hispanic, like California is now. In fact, there's talk. They're having a fit about the election. So maybe California should break away from the union. I think that's a great idea. I have no problems with Hispanics having their own territory, and they can wave Mexico north, and they can wave their Mexican flag. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the desire that people have of self-determination. Hell, 100 years ago, that was just Wilson always talked about it, the right of people to have self-determination.
Okay, so back to Trump, what is it that Donald Trump, President-elect Donald Trump, should do? You mentioned the deportation, to advance this cause of reorienting the identity that you think is so essential. Is it break up the United States? Is it some sort of mass deportation of different races and different religions? Is it a setting of a national religion? What would it be?
No, I've already said it, right? I mean, I said it's not that complicated. The first step that you need to do is to enforce and current immigration laws and build the wall and fine companies that are hiring illegals and take away their businesses if they do that.
Right. It's the second and third step that I'm more concerned about.
Well, we got to do the first step first. I mean, if we can't even get to the first step, I mean, you're talking about things that will be way in the future, and you never know how things will go. That's why I was talking about the example of the Soviet Union. I mean, everyone said I was crazy. Anyone would be crazy if the Soviet Union would fell apart, but it fell apart. So I'm not psychic. I don't know what will happen in the United States. I just don't know what needs to happen initially if we're going to have a nation. And the first things we need to do is to defend the borders. What we need to do 20, 30, 40 years from now, I don't know, because there's too many variables. But that's the first thing that we need to do.
What would you say to African-Americans, people of color, Muslims, who maybe fear some of the things that you're saying and fear some of the things they've heard Donald Trump say about vetting them, deporting them, calling them terrorists, asserting that they're not fully American?
Yeah, we don't care. I don't care what people fear or think or anything like that. They don't, in other countries, they don't have the same concern. Am I fearful that Israel won't take Christians? No, because that's their country. Am I fearful I can't go to Saudi Arabia and practice my Christianity? No. So that's just the way it is. So, I mean,
but what about your Muslim neighbor down the street in Oklahoma?
What about it? I just said we are not going to deport citizens, or people have a freedom of religion to worship as they choose in the United States. I don't think that should change.
But what would you say to them if they're fearful of some of these ideas that have been espoused during the campaign of separating Muslims or surveillance of Muslims
or profiling
of Muslims?
I'm just tired of a little bit of the bullshit about, oh, these poor Muslims, they're going to be so scared. What did we say to them about the backlash? I mean, who the hell is blowing up who in this world? Is Muslims blowing us up? You remember France? You remember the slaughter that they did and the Muslims in the Orlando nightclub? So come on. I mean, yeah, maybe one.
That was an American citizen.
Yeah, and also a Muslim, wasn't it?
All right. So here we go. So what do we do about American citizens who are Muslim, who you believe maybe can't be trusted?
Well, the ones that are commit crimes, they should be arrested, obviously. And the ones that are here illegally, they should be removed. But the current
I'm hearing from you, Paul, that if we're going to get to a situation where, as you described, like Budapest, where people don't have to fear being raped or shot by Muslims on the street, you want to prevent Orlando. That would mean getting rid of Muslim American citizens, so you would prevent the Orlandos that you imagine happening in the future. Do you want Trump to do that?
What you have to do is take certain steps, just like the left has done through our institutions, right? If we're 50 years ago, people saw what the hell was happening, now they wouldn't believe it. But the left got in our institutions and they took step by step by step. That's what we on the alt-right need to do, and the right in general, is to go to our steps that we eventually have self-determination. Now, if you're trying to say then, oh, what do we do? Do we round up all the Jews and kill them? Or we round up all the Muslims and kill them? No, we do something in peacefully. We take steps that we can try to see who can assimilate and who cannot. So it's not an either or proposition.
Okay, so we would have tests of assimilation, and if certain people don't pass those tests, then there would be consequences. And you want to reverse essentially the great society trends that have increased the proliferation of black culture in the United States, Hispanic culture in the United States, are responsible for Muslim culture rising in the United States. You want to reverse that?
No, I want to have self-determination and people to have their own homelands, like the Jews have a homeland in Israel. Are you opposed to that, Jews having their homeland?
No.
Okay, so that's good. Then are you not opposed for us to having a homeland, are you?
Right, but I guess
okay, great,
who's
great,
in the homeland? Who's in the homeland?
Great.
Who gets to be in the homeland? That's what I want to know.
Well, you're talking about a couple of different things, right? We're talking about Donald Trump, and he's a civic nationalist. He's not a white nationalist, right? So we're talking about civic nationalism, and I can't speak for Trump. But in general, I think most Americans think, no matter what your race or religion, we need certain things that bind us together. And in general, this country was founded. You may not like it, and people may get triggered, but it was a white Christian nation for a couple hundred years. People could say, well, they're so wicked and evil, but that's what it was, and that's part of what made us prosperous. And no, we can't just...
Well, slaves. Slaves helped make us prosperous, having slaves.
That is just ridiculous. It wasn't slaves that made America prosperous. I just can't
even... Okay. Well, it helped.
It helped. No, not really. It was a drain on us.
Okay.
It was going away anyway, so...
All right. So again...
These slaves, by the way, there's still slavery in the Middle East and Africa. Does it make Africa prosperous? That's where we got the slaves. We didn't, like, just catch them. The slavery existed in Africa. Doesn't make Africa prosperous, does it?
So you said Trump is a civic nationalist, not a white nationalist. Would you prefer
Correct.
That he is a white nationalist and take steps to embrace that ideology?
I support nationalism. Well, nationalism has to do with the people, and I support – he has sort of an implicit white identity. Again, there's nothing wrong with that, and I support that.
And so you would want the Trump – victory to be the beginning of a trend that 40 years from now would restore America to a 90% white Christian nation.
Well, or close to that. I mean, because we're talking 40 years, who knows? But we need to have certain common things together as a nation. And for example,
if I was an African American, if I was black listening to you, I would go, whoa, that guy scares me to death.
Well, I more scary what happens to in societies that aren't homogeneous, how violent they are. That is pretty much what's scary is what happens. For example, Paris and France was nice and peaceful until they got diversity and multiculturalism. Wherever you have multiculturalism, you get conflict, you get war, you get trouble. Nationalism by its nature tends to promote peace because people can have the countries that they like. And now I know you're going to get into debate of like, well, what percentage is it? Do you have to give people's tests? And they're not that clear cut. I mean, it's just like any country. Just look at their countries or history. It's not like you have this 100% pure thing or these what if scenarios of what will happen 60 years from now. Who knows? I mean, you just got to deal with what you have now. And what you have now is a situation that's intolerable. And if we're going to have a country, this is really our last chance. If you're going to keep this as a country with our values, if not, then maybe it will break apart and we'll have separate countries, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Like the Soviet Union broke apart, it was a good thing.
All right. Finally, what if Trump just isn't really serious about this? I mean, what if Trump, you know, turns out to be absorbed by Washington and says, oh, I'm into free trade now. And he's lived in New York all his life. I mean, the guy's, you know, from a diverse population, of diverse community. What if he turns out not to be the nationalist that you believe? What do you do then?
Well, then we just go on and support someone who is. I mean, I can't do what ifs if he's just faking us and he's all pretend. Maybe he is. I don't know. I mean, that's you just have to deal that's with any situation, and you don't support someone. If someone doesn't hold your values and you support someone else. But I think he's serious. Maybe I'm wrong. Who knows?
What is the coalition of all the groups who would believe as you believe? Is the Klan one of them? Is David Duke one of the people who would be a part of this coalition that really wants to see this sea change in the United States? Would this be a collection of individuals who, for various reasons and in various ways, want to achieve the same goals as you?
I say like most of Zionist Jews support this concept, at least with their country, that they're able to keep Israel Jewish. And I think Hungarians want to keep Hungary for the Hungarians or their Christianity and their Hungarian roots. I think the Japanese want to keep Japan for the Japanese. So I think this is a universal concern. And so, but I know it's good for every other identity, but for whites, it's wicked. I get it. I get the double standard, and Americans are seeing through that double standard.
All right. And if violence results from some of these ideas? in the United States?
Well, violence is already, what are you talking about? Multiculturalism has already resulted in violence. Look at after Obama. Are we post-racial? No, hell no. We have Black Lives Matter rioting, targeting white police officers. We have the situation of France, the Muslims murdering, massacring people, torturing them. What are you talking about? What if violence starts? It has started. It started because of multiculturalism.
So there is a race war going on in the United States today, and that you would join up.
There's a conflict that everyone has that they want self-determination. That's for all people. I want to call it a race war because it's more complicated than race. Nationalism, race is only a component. For example, Hungarians and Romanians are both white people, but they're very different peoples because they have different languages, they have different cultures, they have a different religion. So nationalism is not as simple as black versus white or something like that. There's a lot of components that go to it.
But you hear the words Black Lives Matter, and that essentially means war to you.
No, targeting white police officers and murdering them is a type of violence and of war, yes, of course. Right? What would happen if we did a White Lives Matter and started targeting blacks? Hell, that organization be shut down so goddamn fast with RICO and people be in jail for 20 years if you tried that. So maybe that will happen under Trump, too. I'd like to see him use RICO against Black Lives Matter and throw the leaders away for 20, 30 years for civil rights violations. It would happen if it was reversed. You know it.
Paul Ramsey, who blogs under the alt-right handle Ramsey Paul, RamzPaul, spoke with us from Hungary, but blogs from Oklahoma. Paul, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.